And then they'll just have to miss it.
And then we could do the IED part of this for 5 minutes.
Right. And then if they don't show up, we
adjourn.
So it's a meeting of, it's a committee of the whole. We'll just meet as a committee of the whole, so we don't have to go through
that.
I knew our GM would find that very exciting. Robert's rule of rose. Thinking about you, buddy.
Actually,
boo. No, because I can tell the point I use a little close to slap happy.
Yeah.
You
little
slap happy. Yeah.
Okay.
So, every time I turn on the radio, there you go.
Okay. Well, ladies and
gentlemen. Myra, why don't you
guys move
up closer?
Feel free. We're meeting in a committee of the whole, so.
There's a certain type of seating. This is called the gallery.
All right. Enjoy yourself.
Is there any way to figure out if there's any traffic out there?
The traffic is there, and that actually moved back from North Street.
Yeah.
Oh, I flew back from North Street. You can believe it. Not even the 10 was going slow.
Well, we know Margaret isn't coming. We know Lamont can't come.
Right. Molly's going to be about 8:30. We didn't talk
about it. Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
The hour has arrived,
you may continue. No, it is because we're blowing out the population of the community. No, we can't wait until next month.
We have to have a forum to vote.
Well, is there any other way?
No, this
is there any other nothing you can use, like putting out a ballot or something? Because, you know, to me, it's like a natural benefit on technology.
What are they? Actually, it's not on here.
Okay, here we go.
You want maybe a doc? You can have one.
We're meeting in the committee the whole time.
Fun drive. You've all been asking about it, but this is nothing new. But we're at roughly 500,000. Actually, we're almost exactly 500,000. Highlights include, among several things, the permanent supportive housing campaign that we're doing. We partnered with Step Up on Second, which is has 46 units in Santa Monica. It's permanent supportive housing. It includes, among other things, counseling for drug addiction, mental illness, financial counseling. The housing allows family members to reside. With the person who's receiving the counseling, it might be more than one person. What we're doing is people, in lieu of a traditional thank you gift, people who are calling in for this particular campaign are re-diverting their thank you gift to basically provide essentials for these folks to move in. Bedding, utensils, glasses, hygiene kits, cleaning supplies, microwave ovens, etc. So we're taking 10% of a $10 a month pledge, which is $12, and that will be sent to Step Up on Second.
Is it only online?
No, we've been pitching it. Yeah. We pitch it in kind of blocks, basically.
Oh, okay.
You'll probably hear more of it as we wrap up this week. You can get all the information online. One thing to keep in mind, just to avoid confusion, we are avoiding identifying the organization on air and are sending people to the internet at our website to get this information because of the following. Due to FCC underwriting law, which actually should apply to all of our thank you gifts, which is another story, we flirt with danger when we put a value added to anything. So if we say John's going to provide us financial services as a thank you gift, John's great. That would be a violation of FCC law. And so we want to be able to say over and over, this is great, this is awesome, this is exactly what we should be doing, this is such a perfect opportunity. You know, we need to put these descriptors out there that if we then attach the name of the organization, we would break the law. So that's why we send people to the website to ultimately find out what organization we're working with. I've gotten a couple of concerned calls, people saying, hey, you don't mention the organization, is this really true? So that's why we've stepped up the whole, go to our website if you want to see who it is. And we don't, if you go on the air and try to explain why we're not mentioning the organization on the air, I mean, you start to deteriorate your pitch. This is the only way we know how to do it. KPCC is the only other station to even venture down this path. They held to the same parameter as well. Yes, sir.
Sean, what if you told them who the group was, but just didn't always say, oh, they're great. Just talk about the things they do and let the greatness stand for itself.
If, I agree with that, if I could trust all of us, not that people would intentionally do this, but it's already people have already accidentally done
this. I understand.
Even with the rule of don't mention the organization at all, people have misinterpreted their instructions or have forgotten their instructions and went on the air and did it anyway. Now, we're probably not going to run into a real problem. Everything I've heard has been legal that has been said on air. But the more it's out there, the more relaxed we get, the more likely we're going to run into this. And John Krigler is the one who really took me 3 or 4 phone calls for him to finally come up with how to do this. We're one of the very first stations in America to do something like this because it is dangerous. At the station I was at before, we thought about this, but we've never figured out how to do it. It was KPCC that first did it where we went, the thank you gift is what is being re-diverted.
Is it not
the money.
Is it dangerous just because we're possibly violating the FCC rule and not the rule itself? I mean, should we challenge the rule? And I don't mean right now, this moment, but
yeah.
You know, I mean, why is that rule there? It sounds like a pretty...
Well,
if you partnership with somebody, you should be able to say, we'll do the partnership because we like these people.
Yeah. You're actually getting onto a very interesting subject, which is that all of our thank you gifts that we do, we're flirting with this FCC law. FCC has looked the other way for 20 years, but I was told 15 years ago that this is something that would possibly come back. So, like, if we're giving away BlackBerries as a thank you gift, and we're talking about how great a BlackBerry is, what you can do with it, it's awesome, technically that'd be legal. But the FCC has decided to let those things go. This is new territory. Our FCC attorney said, hey, be very careful. If I were you, this is what I would do, and this is what we're doing at this time. But you're absolutely right that this is going to be challenged.
I've
never heard of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Krigler, who I talked to, has never had to deal with it. So he knows the station he advised me.
Yeah, they have no lawyers.
Yeah, and plus the station I was at, we could never figure out how to do this. It was like a moment of clarity when I heard KPCC say, your thank you gift is... Because the other law you'd be breaking is IRS law. 501c3, we're not supposed to be fundraising for another organization, so...
Is that why you don't know from the name of this organization?
Correct. You can find all that information on our website.
Oh.
And we're not even a strategic partnership, even if it's a strategic partnership.
So we're working on that language. That's what Krigler and I are talking about now, because I'm asking him, why can't we say this CD manufactured by a for-profit is awesome? It's a great CD, or it's a great DVD, it's going to blow your mind. Why can we say that about a DVD, but we can't say that about a non-profit organization that's helping people? So he and I are trying to work that out. Now.
Great guys, go for it.
Do you have a breakdown so far, like how many places have gone?
Not yet, but I mean, this is teaching a daily tally. I know it's been hundreds, you know, several hundreds. Ultimately, it'll raise the station, it'll raise to the station around $150,000. That one process. Finances, there's an attached one sheet.
Are you giving your report now?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
We're doing the committee as a whole right now. We don't have a forum that he was scheduled to...
Sorry, I missed it.
The first column there is what we've budgeted.
Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. Sorry.
The first column is what we've budgeted year to date. The second column is what we've budgeted for the year. The other columns are what actually occurred. So if you look at if you look at the first column and the third column, those are really the columns you should be comparing, I think. So listener support income, we budgeted 892. We actually have currently brought in over $1 million, which is a difference of $117,000 more than we budgeted. If you go down to salaries, we are actually over though on our salaries bill. That had to do with severances, etc. So we're over on our salaries by $59,000. So we brought in $117,000 more than we budgeted, but we spent $59,000 more on salaries at this point, which it will balance itself out by the end of the year from my deficit.
Is this counting in payments from the national office?
Yeah, that's down here. I'll come down the line.
Is there a severance
payment out there? There's still another severance payment too. We went from 27.75 staff members. We have partial staff members. Actually, the 0.75 and the 0.25 refers to people doing part-time, going from full-time to part-time. So we went from 27.75 staffers to 22.25 at this point. So that's, what, a little over five people. Central services... Yeah, well, I wanted to show you a different line. We'll go to central service down the balance sheet below. If you want to show you something. If you wanted to look at the next block below the first section, which would be titled Fund Drive Figure Statistics from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our October Fund Drive, we're already at 78% for fulfillment. October, November, December, January. The 4 months after the fund drive are at 78%. If you look at the October 7, 12 months after the fund drive, we are at 77%. So Efren and I think we're on target for maybe 85%, could be more, depending on what happens with follow-ups for the fund drive. Exactly what I thought we could do. At least we're on course for that now. Down to the balance sheet.
So, can I ask you on a one-day fundraiser?
Mm-hmm.
Almost 59%. Mm-hmm. 2 months after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Now, my understanding is, and I'm going to talk to Terry Guy a little bit more about it, is that we had a ton of installments because we were pitching $10 a month for it. Probably what we'll run into on this drive too, because we've been doing a lot more installments than we're used to, just because it's more palatable to ask for $10 a month than $120. And I think it's a good way for people to actually contribute in this economy. Plus, I think it's a great way for us to budget. When you have constant monthly income as opposed to a giant chunk, it might be beneficial to us in the long run. be able to rely on that monthly income.
Was that one day, was that the food, the food
yeah.
one?
Mm-hmm.
What about the previous one day, the sign-up one, remember?
That's part of last fiscal year, 83,000. It came at 88%.
Mm-hmm. So where is that?
It's one column to the right, FY 2008.
Okay.
A dismal overall total, obviously, but at least it's a phone that was
mm-hmm.
relatively high.
Mm-hmm.
Balance sheet. You can see we're balanced. If you look at total assets, it's exactly the same as total payable. So you go total assets in bold and down the bottom total payable. If you look at our accounts payable at the national office, and obviously we'll be talking to our IED about this. We have on the books $172,000 owed to K, which has been carried over since 05, and we owe National $425. It's actually less than this at this point, though. This was as of January of 09.
Says in other stations, are those loans, or what is that? And other stations.
It's just a line item. From my understanding, it's the national office.
It's just a category station.
Yeah,
it's not.
Exactly. So my understanding is Efren has told me that we will owe National around $200,000 by March, which we think we'll be able to do based on the fund drive total. So we still believe that we'll be at paid up come the beginning of March. But we'll have to look at, he was talking about the 172, we'll have to look at. It's been carried over, you can see, since 05.
I'm sorry,
where's
the 172?
It is under accounts receivable from National Office and other stations. It is what is owed to KPFK from the National Office since 2005.
I'm sorry, may I ask one question? So the receivables here, the line item, is due to K, as you keep referring to, because there is no breakdown per station, per unit. So we are assuming that what you're saying is that all these receivable values are due to K
mm-hmm.
in that particular line item?
On the one that says account receivable from National Office and other stations?
Yeah, so
yeah.
That is due to K, even
yeah.
though there's no breakdown per unit.
By station?
Yeah, per unit, right.
I'm not following the price.
So the total
yeah.
value is due to K,
yeah.
but there's no breakdown.
But the money is going to go from the national office, not
other stations. Yeah, no, not other stations.
Right.
The line item would include...
Question is that ever since I have been seeing balance sheets for Pacifica, there's no proper breakdown
in
our receivables.
Well,
there's no
sheet.
Proper breakdown with accounts
payable. Do you want to know
per unit
why we're owed that money?
No. I want to see what is owed per unit.
In the other state. From the other state.
This is just our pretty
This is just on us. This is just what's owed to us, and not from the other state.
So this balance sheet
is not
exclusively for K.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Any questions about what you're looking at here with that? I mean, the bottom line is we're balanced so far. We're on target. I think we remain on target. If you look at $117,000 over budget on income versus the $59,000 over on salaries, I think we'll be able to fix that.
Where are you over budget?
We're over budget on salaries.
Salary.
And we're over budget on income.
I have a question about finances that go to the front door. I'm talking to someone, a young person, and said, you know, this is crazy. It used to be that there was $25, $35, $50, that young people cannot put $100. So on the one hand, we've got two competing goals, expanding listenership, particularly young people, but that and raising more money, but those new listeners are the ones who can't afford the more. So my concern is that there'd be, I don't want to have a budget, but that there'd be either be better distribution or making it clear that we welcome any amount, and if you go to the website, you could see thank you gifts for various amounts. Because I think we're really turning
off. I agree with the idea that we welcome any amount. We do have thank you gifts that I've heard from at 35. I don't necessarily agree with that. We do have thank you gifts at 50. That's the teacher mug. Which you'll hear when you hear me on the air. I pitch those constantly. That's almost all I pitch. I pitch that, and I pitch the permanent housing project.
Okay.
But then there's the dilemma of, okay, thank you gift. A thank you gift was originally invented to thank people for going up from the basic membership level. And as opposed to putting this item out there and saying, this is what you're paying for. You're buying this jug of water for $10 a month. Instead it was, you're going to get this great jug of water, which is worth, as a value, $5, $10. As our way of saying, you know, thank you so much for coming aboard at that level. And I think, we are in both worlds right now. That's one of our problems. And we have to figure out how we're going to get on the track.
Mm-hmm.
KPCC, as an example, has chosen, I think, the long, the tortoise versus the hare. They've chosen higher levels for thank you gifts, not that many thank you gifts, and pick the ones that they think are going to work. Whereas KCRW has decided to sell $75 gift certificates to whatever sushi place down the street for $75 pledge, which means that person has zero tax deduction for their pledge. Because the thank you gift, the value of the thank you gift is identical to their pledge. They've chosen a different path. By the way, it has nothing to do with fundraising. The KCRW is being trounced by KBCP right now.
I have a comment. I think it's in the committee around or something. In the past, there used to be a bunch of low, in the book, there used to be a bunch of low-cost payments, $25 sorts of things. But for the last two or three fund drives, that section has been empty. I went to speak to not Christine Bosco, to Jennifer Kaiser, who used to be involved in that sort of thing, and said, whatever happened to the Addicted for War comic book? The Addicted for War comic book, which used to be for $25, and it's available in Spanish and in English. And it's a great conversion tool for showing, you can take it to your Republican uncle, say, read this, take an hour to read it, and it basically gives them a radical, an introduction to the radical analysis of politics. It's very valuable. I'd like to be a fun volunteer here. When someone says, you've got anything cheap? I would like to recommend that to them. But Jennifer says, no, we've done it, we've decided it won't raise any money. I said, hey, give me a break. I answer the phones, and I've got nothing here to offer them when they want something at low price, and I'd like to be able to do it, and I can sell this. I can sell them lots of these so they can give it to all their family members. I know I can do it. And they basically blew me off and went on. We thought about this, and we decided it's not a valuable thing. And I would just say that the people in the phone room have some knowledge about these kinds of things. And the other day, when I, in 1 hour, wrote up four $250 sets of CDs, the comment I had was, gee, it sounds like a crafts sort of thing here. We've got expensive gifts. We don't have any cheap gifts. And I really wish we had something to say. And for those of you that are financially in difficult times this week, we do have this. So if you want to renew your membership, it's just $25 and you do it. So I would strongly urge reconsideration of this. We can get these books for $2.50. We can make the 10-to-1 ratio on it. The distributor, the Frank's name,
Dorrell,
is very, very helpful on this.
One, I don't think you going to them, asking them about the situation, them responding would be them blowing you off. I think that would be them communicating with you on their decision, which I think they have every right to do. But I understand your point of view. We have to make a decision on what we're doing. It costs a lot of money to process a pledge. Some estimate $14 if you include all the man hours.
Staff hours.
Staff hours.
My apologies.
I've been up since four. Now, if you have a $25 pledge, you think it might cost us $10, $14 to process that person ultimately, which is expensive. But it's labor intensive. This is not, you know, Amazon.com. This is a very archaic system we're working with. And then you send them out a thank you gift. I mean, you're getting towards the, you know, the wash situation.
Sure.
So I understand what you're saying. Ultimately, the spirit of what you're saying is resonates with me. I think that we need to come up with downloads and things like that that are very inexpensive to recreate or to distribute. We've talked about that, sending people a code where they can download songs or download Pacific Radio Archives material. That's, you know, starting at a $25 level. So I do agree with the spirit of what you're saying. It's just a matter of trying to solve that in a way that makes sense.
You can spread out over payments too. So, you know, $10 a month or $20 a month.
I had my hand up. I wanted to point out that during the PND, I caught you on tape and everything that you said, and what you said then is what you were kind of echoing now, is that there is no time or space for low-income folks. And that we continue, because this didn't just happen with you. I won't give you all that credit. It has been an ongoing effort to disenfranchise people who cannot partake in the pool of the higher premiums. So, like Sherna said, and like you said, we have two conflicting situations here, but we must solve these conflicting situations as soon as possible. Yeah. And I would like at some point, Mr. Chair, that I am allowed to talk about this later on. Thank you very much.
Programming. We are kind of regrouped with the PROC and what is referred to as the IPC in March. We suspended our meeting February due to the fund drive. We're continuing to try to work out a set of policies for programming, evaluation, and implementation. I have to say the last PROC meeting, well, I wouldn't blame PROC per se, PROC/IGC meeting unraveled a bit. I'm trying to propose what IPC should ultimately become. My opinion is that the programming council should drop the I, first of all. and then I think it should be, its mission should be to assist the general manager and the program director and the station as a whole with increasing the access points for our listeners and our listener sponsors to be involved in evaluating programming and assisting us with this programming implementation. Since we do fancy ourselves as a listener democracy, that seems only appropriate. I have some people on that council, I believe, that feel that they should have some sort of personal authority over programming. So we have kind of hit somewhat of a stalemate. I feel very strongly about the fact that our listeners, especially our listener sponsors, should be involved. And I have proposed several ways that are quite practical on how they can be involved. Fortunately, we never got to that discussion.
due to the overarching dilemma and debate about what the ICC should be. Hopefully we can resolve that.
Just a quick comment about that?
Yeah.
Back when the CMB was originally formed, we raised the question, what is the authority of the local station board in assigning authorities to a program council? Because the program council is different at every station. It has different relationships to the local board. It's never been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Never resolved. Constant plan.
Yeah.
So if we can get to a point of clarity about that, and if we can get the CMB to actually make a ruling about what is the authority of OSDs with respect to assigning powers to station board, that would be nice. But in Berkeley, they went ahead with a program council. They were asked to do a bunch of things, and at the moment they made a decision, which they thought was within their purview, then they found out 30 changes, and everybody's time got wasted for so long.
I believe that happened to KPFK as well.
Yeah. It's always going to happen. If you do it around here, if you can't win, you punt, and you waste the next chance.
Right.
Right.
Well, I just truly believe that we have the technology now, and even with snail mail, we have ways that we can involve our listeners. And I think this is the one issue they care most about. You know, we ask them to be involved in governance, we ask them to be involved in other things. They're busy people. They're commuting. This is why they're listening to us. But we can get them to go to our website and click on a poll. We can get them to sign up for eBlast and tune in to certain shows and give us their feedback. We can do that instantly with these 3G phones. We can send surveys out in the mail. When we send them out solicitations or when we send them out their tax return. There's a lot of ways that we can get their feedback, and that's what I'm asking the program council to be more involved with, rather than coming to me and saying, I represent the 300 block of so-and-so, and my constituents say that this show is terrible. Great. Chalk that up to, one down for this show. Rather than saying, hey, you know what, as a body, we're really going to make sure that our listener sponsors and our listeners as a whole, have as many avenues and access points to ultimately give us feedback about what they care most about. I mean, obviously they care, you know? So I think it's a no-brainer, and I'm hoping that the PC will, or the IPC will ultimately adopt the idea. Programming, furthermore, Roseanne Barra, doing a great job. She's actually donating her time twice this week because she did so well last week. She's raised $15,000 so far during her show, and that doesn't include the fact that she's matching the money dollar for dollar out of her own account. I'm extremely proud of Pacifica and KPFA and a gentleman by the name of Mitch Jezerich, who is the new anchor and producer of Letters from Washington, the first 100 days. It comes out of Washington. He uses PFW's facilities, among others. I think he's also using the FSRM facilities. We don't pay anything extra for this. KPFA pays for this right now. We air it at 12:30 Monday through Friday. It's in-depth. It's critical. It's I would say high quality, thorough, and he tackles pretty much one issue per day. I guess the most important issue of the day coming out of Washington. So it's a news program, and I think it's definitely something that we can be proud of. I highly recommend tuning in 12:30 or just find it on our website and in our archive section. But Mitch Jezerich, Letters from Washington, first 100 days.
I'm sorry, I have to
go. Aye, aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Tune in at 7 o'clock. Margaret and I will be on the air, fresh, ready to rock.
I'll be there in spirit.
Okay.
Thank you. And Thursday morning,
right? We're creating too many stars up in Pacifica, right? At KPFK, that's where we're heading.
Well, okay, so well, you're out of order.
Thank you.
Yes, I know.
One warning, three warnings.
I have two to go.
That'll be removed.
I have two to go.
That'll be removed from the building.
I still have two to go.
Come on, Bella, take it
easy.
I think you're
on
three of them.
I'm going to take roll call. Ray Sharon?
Here.
Dave Davis?
Here.
Jonathan Alexander?
Here.
Yolanda Engian? Israel Cure?
Here.
Sarah Dunn?
Sure.
Okay. Yes.
Jan Goodman?
Here.
Ian Johnson?
Here.
Tracy Larkin?
Here.
I'm going to be late. Sean
K.C. O'Brien?
Present. Liz Poor?
Here.
I'll just check out Aspen and Steve Aspen. Leslie Radford?
I'm here.
Some of these?
Yeah.
Rico Ross?
He's coming later.
He's coming later?
Yeah, he had a conflict.
John Warren? So, Gabriel Woods and Rose Jamanaka. I didn't find him, I didn't find him. What's
the
one? It's Chris Thompson.
There.
We have a member who's not on the roll.
Oh, why is
it? Linda Stetton.
She's here.
She should be added to the roll.
Where's the stuff? Okay.
I have my friend Sally Chandler. To be here.
Noe, let me know that she's working tonight. Who? Yolanda? Oh. And you have Lamont Yeagy as the absent. Lamont Yeagy asked for excuse absence.
Okay, he didn't resort here yet.
Apparently, I mean, he said that he did. He tried to.
Yeah, he sent it me also, and Jan, and maybe two others.
And to you. I don't know if we didn't get in your email box.
Yeah, I mean, how do I know if people don't send it to me?
Mm-hmm. He thought he sent it to you.
No.
I mean, maybe for...
Okay, well, so...
Motion to excuse that.
Yeah, is there a motion?
Motion to
excuse
that.
Wait,
so who are we talking about?
We're talking about Margaret Prescott. Vermont is
and how much is it with the
news to get
enough?
All right.
Can I get a clarification for you? The issue of Gabrielle. She's said this before, what she's thinking about resigning, but
yeah.
I think we've got to come to a decision about this. And so we either need a member who's going to be active on the board,
but
that has to be either her or not her.
Right. I agree.
She actually told me that I think she is thinking that she's resigning.
Why
did you put in the one sentence?
I don't know. I'd like to follow up on that. I'd like to suggest that Steve call her and then ask if she's sure what the story is and then put it on the agenda for the next meeting for sure.
Okay, hold on. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this item, so I'll take you and then I'll just report.
Just quickly, I mean, I couldn't agree more, and I believe our previous chair has called her politely to inquire. I think the time has come to send an email letting her know that if she doesn't come to the next meeting, I mean, to me this is ludicrous for telling her a seat open for somebody who's been here maybe twice in the last year.
Right, okay, I'm going to make a brief comment myself here. I think if people, after three absences, I mean, and they don't call, I mean, if there's no call, I mean, I think they should really seriously think of resigning. This is rude to this whole committee. It's rude to me. It's hard for me to try to get myself up to speed here and conduct a meeting. I'm going to have to get to it on this rule. And I do mean that. Did you have a point of order?
It was... basically what someone said, that the previous chair had called her, he had been repeatedly asked if she was going to resign or not.
And there's one other thing, in the future I will send out, I'm going to send out emails that we're going to meet a quorum by a designated time so we can get this meeting going on time. I mean, I know you don't trust me, but it's very difficult to meet a meeting when nobody's showing up, when they're arriving, half an hour late, and the general manager gets to talk, and we suddenly form this committee and go ahead to give him the courtesy of speaking. So, I mean, I am really committed to enforcing some rules here about timemanship and attendance. And that's what I think.
May I propose that we assume that we adopt a working assumption that Gabrielle is no longer going to be on the board, and that because she hasn't been here.
Yeah,
the point is that we should look at who the next.
Yeah,
who the next person in line is, and who the next person in line is after that, so that we can be prepared.
I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this.
We could, of course, we have the right for the bylaws to take a vote right now to remove Gabrielle Wood. However, functionally speaking, the next alternate is Khalid Al-Alim. I haven't been able to find a contact address for him. I believe I emailed you, Leslie, asking if you knew how to contact him. Does anyone know how to contact him? Okay. Can you send us his contact information or send Steve his contact information? We can't have him tonight. So we can either do this tonight, or we can politely ask Gabrielle to resign, so it doesn't have to be on the
board. I like Gabrielle. She's a very nice lady.
She used this as a trust to
Bella. Okay, one more.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it would be inappropriate, since I don't know for certain that she hasn't been here within 3 meetings. I mean, we have to roll the log in front of us, because I know I've seen her at some point.
Before the order. Could we take care of the excused absences as one item, and then deal or not deal, as the case may be, with Gabrielle?
We could formalize them into a fast motion and get on with our agenda.
Well, I have a point of order about this, too, which is, apropos Gabrielle, the issue is we shouldn't be excusing absences when people have not requested. People who make an active request for an excused absence are indicating their desire to participate. People who don't, we shouldn't just do it as a blanket. So I'd like to ask which of the people in your name actually contacted somebody and requested them. The names that you've read, all people who contacted you and requested the next possessions, because I'd like to...
Or thought they did. No, well, I'm sure there's one. You know, you may have...
Not coming, but did request an excuse.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
waiting to hear how many the only contacted. The only person I heard from in an email was Margaret Prescott.
Indeed.
And Sharon Prescott. She did her plan stuff here, and she came.
Since it requires 3 successive unexcused absences to trigger any consequence, and in the spirit of keeping a set of rules and consistency, I'd like to move that we excuse those people who contacted the chair and requested an excused absence, and communicate to the whole board that in the future that it is not. I told somebody else on the board, and they said it, that they have to contact you. It's not going to trigger any consequence for people without to screw up 3 more times.
I second.
Any objections to that motion?
No. Okay.
Point of order. I think we really need to get someone to volunteer to be secretary tonight because we're not, right now, nobody's taking minutes.
Yeah, right. Anybody, any volunteers for secretary?
Who would like to be a secretary?
You have to pay me a lot of
money. That may be awesome.
I'd like to say something else.
Yes.
Two other things. As the chair of the CMB, I'm going to start cracking down on minutes for the meetings because legally these meetings do not exist unless there are minutes, unless those minutes are approved. And does anyone know the man who took the minutes last meeting? Because nobody seems that we know seems to be able to contact him. So we have a set of minutes completely missing from the last meeting. Which, is there an audio for that meeting, Terry?
Yeah.
Okay, it could take between 6 and 10 hours to reconstruct those minutes from the audio. It's totally unfair, and we really have to please somebody volunteer to take the minutes.
I've been secretary of this body, or the one that continued it for many years. I'm secretary of the foundation in Central City, and I'd be happy to take minutes in terms of the actions that are
approved. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you email those to me?
Yes.
I'm going
to
Richard?
Yeah. Richard. Who was the tall man with white hair? No, he came in as a volunteer. I mean, he helped me set up the room as a defense. And then I'd never seen him before.
I have a question for Doug.
Yes.
Will you both take the minutes and give them?
Yes.
Thank you. After I put them on the net.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Doug.
So, as a point of order, do we have, are we voting now to excuse Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
We said no objection.
And Lamont.
No, not the motion. The motion was to excuse the people who had
right.
Could you read those names to the secretary and know what we're doing?
The ones we're excusing?
Yes, so that's
the
just Margaret.
The ones asked for excuse.
Okay, Lamont Yagy.
I don't want to say, well, it should be because of this. I'd like us to just do it. So who contacted the chair? My motion is the people who contacted the chair. Again, my point was it has no functional impact. It's not a blot on
it's
your
not
record.
Known as one
it's
of
just
the
establishing just a protocol. And we communicate to everybody. You have to contact
right.
the chair.
From this point on.
Right.
It's not a vote against.
Okay.
You have to do it three times.
Okay. After this. After
this. Exactly. Right. So my motion is to excuse Margaret Prescott.
Yes.
That's the motion.
Yes.
That
yes.
I said in a second.
Yes.
Could I amend
actually,
that?
Actually,
Could we make it not just notify the chair, but to notify to the LSC list that we are all on, so that everybody can see that somebody has requested it, instead of just making that chair?
I don't think it's relevant to be a present vote, is it?
We passed it. There was no objection.
Okay.
We passed it. I like to move on.
I didn't even hear what the issue is to excuse Margaret. Is that the issue?
No,
of the
no, no.
Okay.
No,
are there any other issues on
this?
The
no.
Then I would like to move the chair notify all members that from here on that they must notify the chair or the vice chair.
That's
what the vice chair now, this is somewhat different from what Dave was saying, because Dave didn't require that you notify everybody before we started this rule. And I'd like everybody to be notified of this rule.
Right. Okay, so yeah, send them a copy.
Send them a note saying from now on, you got to notify me or Chris.
Are there any objections to that?
Mr. Chair.
Okay, then, can we take a vote on this now?
Sure.
There's no objections. Are there any objections?
I'll have to object in order to speak, I guess.
Okay,
I didn't want to. I'm unclear from what you said earlier, what's said now, as to what we're approving and what the Secretary's writing down. You read several names. Dave said one name. And it isn't clear what the Secretary is writing down. There's no fault of his, by the way. I want clarity of what we're doing. It's confusing.
No fault
of his. Anyway, I'm a cousin, and as far as I've heard, without any dissent, we excused Margaret's contract. But it would move on to a bunch of other people. What happened to the other man that you read earlier?
Yeah, you can put time to move the order to the day. We haven't approved an agenda for the hour yet.
Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I want to suggest that we do not, at this meeting, set up a new precedent so we can have it for a future meeting and send it out. But that's not the same thing as who we're excusing today. That's what's not clear.
I know. This shouldn't be the charge.
If you've read several names before, now we have one name. How do you resolve that?
Okay, the only person that I've got an email from is Margaret. So we voted to excuse her. And from the future on, when we were going to count on these
okay.
And I'm going to send an email out to the whole body about
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, can we approve the agenda now?
I'd like to ask that we have the comments of the TMB report before we elect people for the TMB committee.
No, I can't. The most important thing in this meeting is to elect members to the TMB committee. I'd like to have the PNB report while we're waiting for the vote to be counted, which is the ideal time. So I would not want to give the report beforehand.
Okay.
Sure.
I would like to split the item 5, split off the IED report, which is totally separate, it's missing management and governance. Have the 5-minute item for the IED report, and by our own rules, the CMD report is 15 minutes. So make it 5A and B or whatever. But then they be split off.
I object to that. We need more time than 5 minutes. I do anyhow to hear what's going on at the new IED and animal.
Well, and say how much time you want. My point is that they not be conflated. And that we have a standing rule of 15 minutes for the CMD, so recommend what you want.
Second.
How much time does IED need to report and to answer questions?
I'd like to ask, as long as your IEP, will we be getting IEP meetings at the Salas meeting?
What do you mean IEP
meetings? IEP report.
If you want them.
Will you be able to do them for the other LLCs also? If you do my telephone? That would be great.
At every LSB meeting, I made a report for the PNB, and the PNB directors can, of course, copy it and pass that to their LSB.
Okay, so that's the report you'll be giving here, is the one you prepared?
With a slight update.
Okay. So make sure the whole network has that information.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
I haven't had the IED at the table. Just split 5 into A and B, IED, and make it 20 minutes total, IED, 5 minutes, B and B, 15.
Adam Gabriel.
Second, that number 5 is put into 2 sections, the IED report for 5 minutes and the PMB report for 15 minutes.
Okay.
Any objections for that?
No.
Hearing none?
Okay, the motion is approved.
I wanted to add this written motion that I've got to everybody. If I can add it, I'd rather, I think we could probably get it out of the way really quick. It's 5 minutes.
Can we add it to new business?
Yeah,
but that's way down at the bottom.
Well, we have, you know, we have an election here yet, right, too, and I really want it under new business first. Yeah.
Huh?
No, we'll put it under new business.
Can't put it under the PMB report? Isn't it a motion to go to the PMB?
Yeah.
But do you think we do that?
How far would it be to go to
the No, there you go.
Point of order. So this is making an amendment because the second we should vote on it, there's not to move on. There's an habit of everybody saying what they feel about it and arguing about it. We'll give it to our agenda because make these motions, vote it up or down. Where do you want
it? I'd like it under the green uniform. And make a motion that we amend the agenda to put motion of 217 on everybody's chair under item 5.
Mm-hmm. It ought to be under new business if it is new business, and unless you want to add more time,
yep,
we've gotten
to. I want it under new business. Call the question.
Can we call a question? Can we vote on the amendment?
Okay, wait a second.
Yeah.
You can make that a ruling of the chair, which I would suggest.
Okay. You have somebody appeals the ruling of the chair.
Well, get a member there for
him. I want the body to decide. The body to decide.
Well, this is about placement. This isn't about the motion. This is about placement. So let the chair rule if they want to overturn it.
People are necessarily
the chair rules. The chair rules are there.
No, I don't
know.
I said they're not
necessarily. You know, Sean, he's not going to give it an inch.
But I want to challenge
them. Any objections?
Objection to what?
Her calendar.
His wife's calendar.
No.
Okay,
call the question. What about that? I call the
point of order.
Tonight. Because next month, you know, the military talks.
I have the floor. Excuse me. I have the floor. Thank you. We can debate this, but the chair has the right to speak first and last on this issue. As soon as you know.
How do you see it?
You don't have to, but I'm just saying.
The idea is.
Well, the question.
Okay,
where to put this?
The question is, you want to put this under the PMB, right?
Under the PMB report.
Report, yes.
Not part of the report.
Any information?
Okay. Okay, sure.
Could we resolve it by signing in a time certain? Because I think the point that's been made is that the buildup is happening now, and if we don't get to it tonight, it will be April. And the request is basically for the PMB to take and Pacifica to take an editorial stand, which we have done. We did about Iraq, which we've done about several things. So I'm suggesting that one way to resolve it is to make it a time certain so we do get to it.
Well, let's just take a vote. We're going to take a vote on where to place this thing, not on the motion itself. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd like
okay.
to substitute motion that we place it a time certain of
What time is it? Right, let's see, then. The time's starting at 9 o'clock.